Thank you, Vaughn. Man, that's one of all of our favorites, I'm sure. I'm loved and forgiven back from the living. Back to the living. Sorry, not back from the living. As I said that, I'm like, that's not right. Loved and forgiven back to the living. Man, a sinner saved by grace. I tell you, when that word blessedness that we keep seeing in the Beatitudes, it has to do with that. I think understanding our position in Christ, being loved and forgiven, walking above, in a sense, the world and its disparity and its hate. I think when we talk about this morning, that they shall inherit the earth, you know, there's a sense of where God's kingdom is coming on earth through Jesus and His miracles and fulfillment. The love of Christ is being seen and evident, and true disciples of Jesus are now experiencing kingdom living on earth. So inheriting the earth is being blessed, prosperous, spiritual prosperity, living in joy, living in love, and living in thanksgiving with a newness, like Vaughn just sang about, a sinner saved by grace. I want to talk to you this morning, Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, and continuing our study in the Beatitudes. We're looking at the meek. Blessed are the meek. Now, you know, we hear that word a lot, and really, to help you understand it, the meek in the New Testament, the Greek word, it's interchanged a lot with gentleness. And I think about the fruits of the Spirit. Gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. So meekness is an attitude of humility and submission to God. The Greek word, the word there, price, it refers to mildness, gentleness of spirit, or humility. And it's used other times in the New Testament. It's humility toward God and toward others. You might have heard explained like this. I've heard people explain meekness as having the right or the power to do something, but refraining for the benefit of someone else. You know, when Paul talked to the Ephesians, he encouraged meekness when he told us to live a life worthy of the calling we have received. He says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. You know, I think about meekness, and I think about somebody walking in meekness is somebody that is fully submitted to the Lord and His will. Someone who is in complete trust in Him. You know, we just sang about the way of the cross leads home. Someone who is meek and someone who is walking in meekness and honoring the Lord is someone who realizes that the way of the cross does lead home. It's someone that can walk in this world that's not so quick to be bitter and angry and hostile and ready to retaliate. Now, those things I just mentioned are characteristics of the flesh. We all know those type attitudes. We all experiencing them from time and time again. But that's why I think it's important to look at Jesus, the model of meekness. In Matthew 11, 29, Jesus talks about this. That word in Matthew 11, 29, when He says, take My yoke upon you, for I'm gentle and lowly at heart. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, learn from Me. The verse actually says this, take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. He says, and you will find rest for your souls. Lord, if we need anything in this day and age, we need rest for our souls. I got a chance to teach this past Wednesday night. I guess by default, nobody else was here. So I thought, what a great opportunity I have to teach the kids. And I wanted to talk to them about fear and irrational fears. Because it seemed like everybody was not only your people terrified of sickness and disease right now, and I understand that, but people were terrified because there was an axe murderer loose on Douglas Road out here this week, right? And so there's another fear that is in our minds. There's fear because of government. There's fear because of the borders. There's fear because of debt and spending. There's fear in our hearts and lives because gas prices are going up. There's fear in our lives everywhere around the corner. And I look at our dear children that were here today this past week, and I thought, let's talk about fear. Because something tells me they, poor little hearts, don't have a lot of rest in their souls. Because they're living in fear. Why? Because their parents are living in fear. Why? Because the world is living in fear. If we can understand that the way of the cross leads home, suffering and trial and persecution and betrayal and separation, if we know that that leads toward where we're going, just be ready for it. Expect it. Process it. It's common to be betrayed by a friend. Shouldn't be, but it happens. Jesus was betrayed by his friends. It's common to be persecuted for doing the right thing. Jesus experienced it. We're going to experience it. But Jesus says, learn from me. Learn from me. Take my yoke upon me. What is he talking about when he says yoke? A yoke, the Pharisees and the scribes had pounded up this yoke of bondage on the shoulders of the people of the day. They were also living in probably fear, but it was a kind of a different type of fear. It was a different type of fear of what is God going to think about me if I disobey his law? What's God going to think about me because I can't fulfill all that these religious people tell me to fulfill? This yoke of bondage was the law, and it had come down on us because of the traditions of the scribes and Pharisees had gone far beyond the demands of God. And it had become a heavy burden on the people's backs and shoulders. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. He says, my yoke, though it's demanding, it's easy because it's from the one who is gentle and lowly in heart, the one who can provide rest for the soul. So Jesus is saying, learn from me, come unto me, all ye who labor, and I will give you rest. Understand that the cross leads home. Understand that I've overcome, I've accomplished, and I will call you blessed, and you will be blessed if you can learn to take my yoke upon you. If you can learn from my gentle heart and my lowliness, because I have fulfill the law that you can't fulfill. I've paid the debt you can't pay. I've accomplished the work that you couldn't accomplish. So therefore, come unto me and experience rest for your souls. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Remember that this blessedness is comes from those who fully submit to God and know and understand abundant life. These faithful followers enjoy peace with God, joy in despair, love in the middle of hate. Those who are meek, gentle, and lowly, fully surrendered to Christ, inherit the earth. And I told you that has to do with, I think, God's kingdom on earth. Our pattern is Jesus. Our pattern is Jesus. Meekness comes from God and is based on trust in Him. So as I talk to the children and as I talk to you, to walk in to fully surrender and submission to God, it comes from a trust in that God is bigger. My little Bethany here has a bracelet on her, and it simply says, I think it came from the lady that was healed from, and she told her doctor, and the doctor said, good, you should write a book. And she said, you know what, I should share my testimony of what God's done. And she simply get these little bracelets, and the bracelet just simply says, God is bigger. And that was my question to these children the other night, is do you believe God is bigger? And my question to you today is, do you believe God is bigger? Is He bigger or is He not? At what point does faith come into the equation? That was what I was asking the children. Of course, some of the reason I think their leaders weren't there, I had to get on to them, and I told them, I said, guys, your leaders aren't here tonight because they think it's break night. It's family night, and they're tired and they're worn out because y'all are running them in the ground. And I know that sounds mean and harsh, but they needed a good stern lesson. Ain't that right, Renee? That's right. The leaders are tired and worn out. You give an inch, they take a mile. And I kind of told him this, and I may get brought before the personnel committee for this, but I told him, I just said, your parents are tired and worn out. That's why they brought you here tonight. They need a break too. But I said it in love. I said it in dear love for them and their little souls. Until you sit down on that pew, or until you learn to listen and surrender to Christ, and until you want to to know God, and do you understand that He is bigger and that He has a plan and purpose for your life, and He's overcome the things that you're scared of? I want you to understand these things. God's bigger than your possible sickness. God's bigger than that man running from the law out there on between Douglas Road that you probably think's under your bed at home because your fears become irrational. God is bigger than the things we are facing. Meekness is simple submission to the will of God in that you walk with Him knowing the way of the cross leads home. It's simple faith in His plan for you. Children of God, depending on Him and not wanting to retaliate towards your enemies. Only the meek person, only the person infiltrated and filled by the Spirit of God in their life can say, you know what? I don't have to get even. One day God will get even. Only the one who is meek and submitted to God can say, you know what? I'm not going to live with bitterness because I love you. Last week we talked about those who mourn over sin. I'm not only mourning over my sin, but I'm mourning over your sin. And you're doing what's natural to you is you're treating me poorly. And God loves you and He can forgive you of that sin. And I'm going to live in bitterness. So the meek are those that aren't necessarily doormats, but they're not, but in a sense they are, because their happiness and blessedness and joy is separate from the conditions of what's going on around them. That's why I think He says, the blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This was a promise to Abraham that they shall inherit the land. It comes from possibly Psalm 37 that begins, do not fret because of the wicked. And it ends, and the psalm does, the meek shall inherit the land. In thinking about those that are meek, the things that talking about trust, and we'll get to a little bit more in a minute, that we don't fret because of the wicked, because we know God says, vengeance is mine. We know that He's going to right all wrongs, so we can trust Him no matter what's going on around us, no matter if we do feel like a punching bag, which at times we might. If you work with people, you'll feel like that at times. Or you'll be opposite of meekness, and you'll be trying to get your credentials and your fame and your success, and you'll be trying to overcome and accomplish, and that is opposite of meekness. That's not gentleness and lowliness. That's pride and arrogance. And so Christ can help us become meek. He can help us live in meekness. I think if we understand the song that Vaughn just said, that I'm just a sinner saved by grace, I think we know and understand humility. I think we do what Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 3 when he says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned you." Meek people understand that they are servants of God. You think with sober judgment. You think and you understand humility because you've been humbled. You've been shown the grace of God. You've been shown your ugly sin and the forgiveness that God gave you through a cross that leads home, through a cross that killed His Son. Meek people understand that. Meek people understand that they are servants of God. They see themselves as servants, not thinking more highly of themselves than they ought to think. To be meek is to accept our strengths and limitations for what they truly are, instead of constantly trying to portray ourselves in the best possible light. But it does not mean that we should deny our strengths and our abilities. It's like that horse in all of his strength and might. He's able to walk gentle and lowly. Jesus was a model of meekness. Let's look at that. Let's think about Isaiah. As he says, take my yoke up on you and learn from me. As he says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Let's think about who Jesus is. Let's think about what He did. So in first thing, and I'm going to get there, so know God and know all that He has all power and that He's in control. Trust and obey Him. Submit to Him fully and completely. Experience rest for your souls. But meekness models the humility of Christ. How did Jesus show humility? Though he had all power, he knew the way of the cross leads home. Philippians 2, 6 through 8. Jesus being the model of this. Philippians 2, 6 through 8 says this, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. The model servant had all power, stepped out of the throne room of God, took on human flesh, made himself nothing, took on the form of a servant, a bondservant, a slave, and being found in human flesh, in human likeness, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Jesus was a model of meekness. What about you? Are you living this blessed, happy, prosperous, joy-filled, peace-filled state of being by walking gentle and lowly like Christ? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the land. They shall inherit the earth. Jesus was a model of meekness. Remember, in going and talking more about, as I move into talk about meekness being a great quality of leadership, I want to say that in Jesus being modeling humility, you remember in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, it says, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shears is silent, he did not open his mouth. Remember that massive animal with all power, yet so gentle and lowly. Think about Jesus with all power, like a sheep before its shears, just sits there quietly. Jesus, as he would go to the cross, opened not his mouth. Though he was led like a lamb to the slaughter, he didn't open his mouth. He was oppressed and afflicted. He didn't open his mouth. Blessed are the meek. The only way we can do that is if we're trusting in the Lord. The only way we can do that is if we know God is leading. He has all power, and we are part of His plan and purpose. That's the only way we can walk as meek people. We can only walk with the meek and be meek if we understand that God is going to right all wrongs, and that one day all evil will be taken care of and everybody will have his own day of judgment. Peter would learn meekness as he would be the one to write. Remember, Peter, in all of his pride, he would actually be the one to talk about. You remember when Peter would write, I'm going to read it to you, I guess. I thought I had it written down. Remember when Peter would write in 1 Peter 5:7, when he says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Remember when, let me get there, 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Peter says, humble yourselves, verse 6, therefore under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Peter had said, clothe yourselves with all humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud. And he goes on to say, be sober-minded, be watchful. You know, Peter would become one who understands meekness. I think about others that as we think about meekness being a great characteristic of leadership. I was also reading this week, and it talked about meekness in the military. And there was this one man who was a platoon leader in Vietnam, and he had a machine gun sergeant that was killed by a sniper, and the man was just filled with rage, and he knew the sniper bullet came from this neighboring village, and he ordered an airstrike on this village in Vietnam. And as he called for the airstrike, he looked at a sergeant who was just 21 years old, and just the quiet look, the stare that this sergeant looked at him with, not getting out of command, he knew that he was about to make a terrible decision in calling for this airstrike. And he immediately called on the airstrike off, in which they would go through this village in Vietnam, and they would sweep the village, and they would find that it was filled with women and children, and the sniper was long gone. And this leader would say that I about made a terrible mistake in anger and rage to call for an artillery strike of this village. And he would talk about meekness and how he would, in a little crater, a little place that had been bombed, he would gather his unit around, and he would talk about how he had almost made this mistake and how he wouldn't have been able to live if he had called on an airstrike that killed all these innocent women and children. And he also talked to his unit about this, and it strengthened his leadership ability. And, you know, I was thinking, what a great quality of leadership, meekness. Someone that has power and authority, but yet is humble and gentle. Someone who walks to try to learn from others and meekness. You know, I couldn't help but to think about David as he's going down to the brook and he's picking up the stones. And there's a lot of irrational fear because I guess that's pretty rational when they're this big giant that's been threatening the people of Israel for 40 days. And this nation of Gath has been sending out their proud, prized Philistine and saying, anybody who wants some, come get some. And David, with gentleness and meekness, probably went down to the brook, probably in the quiet spirit of prayer, picked up some stones. I think about Elijah and the prophets of Baal and all of their cutting themselves and singing and dancing and trying to call on their gods to bring down fire from heaven. I can imagine Elijah going up on Mount Carmel and praying and asking God to show His glory, meekness and gentleness, praying and God immediately calling down fire from heaven. I think about Daniel, who in the light of a political system that was trying to find its way up the top of the ladder, they were jealous of Daniel and his ranks in the kingdom, so they found a way to trap him and said, "Oh, King Darius, live forever. And if anyone, we want to form an edict, and anyone seen praying to any other god besides you, O king, we want to throw him to the hungry lions." Darius said, "That sounds okay to me." And so they trapped little King Daniel, little Daniel, not King Daniel. They trapped Daniel, who was a prime minister there, and they trapped him. But Daniel, in his quiet reverence and gentle spirit, what did he do? I can say he probably went up and looked over the city three times a day and prayed to God like he would always do. He was faithful. He walked in meekness. Why? Because it was submission to God. He was faithful to God. David would be faithful to God. Elijah would be faithful to God. They would all know that God is bigger. They would all know that the way of the cross leads home. They would all be resolute in their trust and faithfulness to the one who loved and cared for them and their souls. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar builds this 90-foot statue. But they said, "We won't bow down." And their meekness, their gentleness, their trust and faithfulness to a God who was bigger, they wouldn't compromise. People, I'm asking you to trust God. And I'm also asking you to live in meekness. Now, what does that have to do with today? How does that work itself out in our world? Well, if we understand that God is bigger, it carries a lot of weight in the way we react to what's going on around us. If we understand that God is going to right all wrongs, it has to do with the way we treat people and the way we try to get even, and we live with bitterness and anger and hostility and vengeance. This one person talks about inheriting the kingdom, and He in thinking about this, he says to inherit the earth for me right now means to give, to be given strength to face the disease that has afflicted me. To inherit the earth is to know the fullness of love and companionship with my wife and family. Do you see that blessed are those of the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Inheriting the earth is living in a state of blessedness that comes from a deep, resolute trust and confidence in God. He says, to inherit the earth is to know the fullness of love and companionship with my wife and family. To inherit the earth is to know friendship based on love and respect rather than what one can do for me. To inherit the earth is to be at peace with God. So we go back to kind of where we started when Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Lastly, in conclusion, I want to look at something that I was about to forget, and it's kind of where that I think maybe Jesus got this psalm from as he's quoting this third beatitude in the list of eight here, or talking about this follow a command of what it means to truly follow me. In Psalm 37, the psalmist says, fret not yourselves because of evildoers. Now you can imagine these Jewish people living among Romans, you can imagine they would get really frustrated by the taxes they were having to pay. They would get frustrated at the things that they were having to oblige to and comply to with the things that they were facing, the treatment they were experiencing. But that's what it's talking about here, is meekness is not trying to get even. It's just finding joy in the midst of your situation. Fret not because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Verse 3 of chapter 37 or Psalm 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Do you find where the meek flourish? Why the meek inherit the earth? Because they learn to understand their situation and they learn that their joy is not conditioned by the external around them. They're fully surrendered and submitted to God. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Fret not over that. What does God mean by that when He says fret not to the psalmist? One, I'm on my throne. Two, I see it. Three, you trust in me. Four, I'm going to take care of that guy. Number eight, verse eight. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. And it does. Your bitterness, your vengeful heart, your wanting to get even, it's an act of disobedience. It's sin. Ask God to help you and to cleanse you and give you a meek spirit, a gentle and lowly heart. Find rest for your soul. Inherit the earth. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the land. Let's pray together. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise, for you are good and you are all powerful. We are your sheep and we depend on you. We are poor in spirit. We want to mourn over our sin, God, and we pray for meekness. May we be gentle and lowly in heart. May we take your yoke upon us and learn. May we learn from you and may we find rest for our souls. God, you'll repay evil for evil. You'll right all wrongs. Vengeance is mine, you say. May we trust you. May we walk with you. May we delight ourselves in the Lord, knowing that you'll give us the desires of our heart. We want to know you intimately, Father. Help us to be meek, gentle, and lowly, and humble in spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Vaughn's going to lead us in a time of commitment, a time of invitation. This is a time of praise, and also a time for you to respond as God moves you. Will you stand as Brother Vaughn leads us?
Take my life, lead me, Lord. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee. Here am I, send me, Lord. Here am I, send me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee. Here am I, send me, Lord. Here am I, send me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee.
Amen. Thank you so much, man. I tell you, that's our prayers. Lord, teach us. Lord, use us. Make our lives useful to Thee. And send us, Lord. Here am I. Send me, Lord. Well, I tell you, we're going to have a time of fellowship back there, and I see you all. Y'all come eat. Come celebrate. There's plenty of food. I want you to come. If you're on the fence of whether or not to come, I'm saying please come and eat with us. There's plenty of food. We're going to have a good time, a good time. I see Brother Don coming up here, so I trust that you have an announcement or something.
Everybody knows that this is Appreciation Month for your pastor, and on behalf of all your church family, we appreciate you.
Thank you, brother.
And your,
I appreciate
and your
you,
family.
Thank y'all. Thank you.
You.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Appreciate that, and I'll say a blessing, and we'll get back there. But my wife and I and the kiddos, we love it, and we thank God for you. The kids were saying the other day, Daddy, we love it here in Fallville. Daddy, you can't ever leave. We want to be here. And so anyway, well, of course, we know. We've just experienced the Lord could move us and move us anywhere. But I've always been one to plant my roots and be where my feet are. And so I'm here, and I love y'all, and I thank God for you as well and the privilege to be your shepherd. Well, I'll close us in prayer, and we'll pray over the food, because they'll be on me if I'm not the first one back there. If I'm not the first one back there, it's okay. Y'all go ahead and start, all right? Because I'm going to ask God to bless our food. And Anna also, some of y'all, I told the committee when we had our review, Anna loves it here. And I know for a while there, y'all thought, man, Anna don't like it. She goes home all the time. Just because she goes home a lot don't mean she don't love Fallville. She absolutely loves Fallville. She just loves her mom and her dad and her brothers and sisters. And we all understand that, right? We do. All right. So let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your love for us, and Lord, your goodness and your grace, and Lord, for just our church family. And God, we do truly pray for your leading and your direction. And I pray that you would help me and continue to lead me as I lead, and help me to continue to be a good pastor and even become a good pastor, Father. I pray that you would just work in my heart and continually, Lord. It's a humble spot, because we know that I identify with everybody here in front of me, God, that can hear my voice, that not only are they growing spiritually, but I'm growing spiritually. And Lord, I have my ups and downs, and I have my struggles. And Lord, we need your leading and your direction, and I need you to continually refresh me and teach me and equip me to be the man that you've called me to be, and the husband you called me to be, and the leader and pastor that you've called me to be, the dad you've called me to be, Father, the friend you've called me to be. So, Lord, it's with great humility that we stand before you and lead, and that we're in certain spots, any of us, God. And so, Lord, help us to be faithful and to look to the good shepherd who is the teacher and the one who equips us for ministry, God. We pray that you would bless our time of fellowship, Lord, and strengthen our people and strengthen, Lord, just all of us. And as we go and we enjoy this good food, we give you thanks for it and all those who prepared it, and we pray that you would use it to nourish our bodies. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Don. Appreciate it, man.